Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast and live stream on Facebook. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We've got a very lively discussion and a very special guest. My special guest today is a very old friend of mine, actually one of my oldest friends that I've ever known. Her name is Kristen Thomas, and I'm going to trigger a whole bunch of conservatives and libertarians right now. She is an environmentalist, a feminist, and a renewable energy activist. Rawr! Yeah. But before you all pile onto her today, let's make sure that we give her a nice warm welcome. Kristen, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, 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 welcome. So today we're going to be talking about a story that has been blowing up. It's a big story today on the Washington Post. It's about a transgender teen who wanted to use the bathroom at their high school, and he didn't think that the nation would debate it. I've got a little video that will give you a nice little intro so you guys can know a little bit more about the timeline of this story. But just very briefly, in Gloucester, Virginia, there is a young man by the name of Gavin Grimm who was born as a female, but has decided to use the men's restrooms. And Gavin has been undergoing hormonal therapy and treatments to sort of complete the change from a female to a male. Mm-hmm. And now he has teamed up with the ACLU to file a lawsuit so that he can use the bathroom. So we're gonna play this video right now for you guys so you can get a little bit of background on exactly what the story is. And then when we come back, we'll have a nice lively debate. Enjoy. All right, guys, sorry we had a little technical difficulty on that. There was no sound playing, but this is the first time that we've ever started adding these kinds of embedded elements in the show. So once we get those technical issues solved for you guys, then hopefully we'll have a better experience. Sorry to add that. But for now, we can go ahead and just introduce to you the story about Gavin Grimm. So essentially what's occurred is that he wants to use the bathroom in his high school, and the school gave him a separate unisex facility to use.
After having let him use the boys' restroom.
He used the boys' restroom for a little while, exactly. So my question to you, liberal feminist, is don't you think that since they made special accommodations for him, that's an example of them going out of their way? Isn't that a good, I mean, should they be able to force their will on the majority of people who don't want to associate? So give us your thoughts.
Well, let's talk about why they made the unisex bathroom available to him. First of all, again, they had made the male restroom open to him until parents complained. And then they took a step back and said, well, we'll just make the unisex restroom available. So why don't we ask questions about, well, what were parents really complaining about? Were they complaining about that they thought that this now young man was a pervert and that he was going to do something to their boys in the bathroom? Let's be real. We all know at this point that just because you're transgender does not mean that you're a pervert.
Right. That's true. But don't you, like, here's the thing. Like, we're going to have to get a little personal here because, I mean, have you ever had a pervert in the bathroom? I mean, I have. You have? Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And it was a grown man.
It was a man.
Yeah. Snuck into a woman's restroom.
Okay, but he wasn't pretending to be a woman.
No,
he was just
not
a
at
man
all.
In the restroom.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the story, or is that a little too intimate?
No, it was at a mall in mid-Missouri, and I went into a restroom at a department store, and a man came in. He was peeking through the dividers and things like that. Luckily, I was done. I saw him, and I yelled. He ran out. Nothing ever happened. They never found the guy, anything like that. But, I mean, as a woman, I have never felt uncomfortable around anyone that was LGBT, transgender, anything. I felt uncomfortable around a lot of men, though.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So here's the thing. It sort of becomes a gender issue, right? So for men, like, we have urinals, right? And for females, you have stalls.
Mm-hmm.
So most likely, if you have someone who is a man that dresses as a woman, they're going to be using a stall, so there's really not going to be a complication.
Correct.
But for men, you know, we tend to be a little less shy anyway, but it would... there are creepers in the male bathroom as well. And
I've definitely had men share experiences where the guy next to him is...
Yeah, yeah.
Staring over,
but they don't dress.
They're not
dressed like a woman unless we're at a gay bar or something
true.
Like that.
Exactly.
But I mean, I guess the question comes down to is why is it that he has to force other people to accommodate him when they already went out of their way to accommodate him? I mean, why? It's almost as if he wants to force other people to respect his lifestyle choices through force. I mean, isn't that a problem?
I'm very much a pragmatic person and think that there's good and bad that comes with everything. But so what I think about when it comes to Gavin's decision to go ahead and pursue a court case is that he's not just fighting for himself, he's fighting for other students everywhere. He's fighting for the people that are going to come after him.
Really? You don't think that that's that it's just him just being selfish? Because, I mean, he got his own bathroom. I mean, did you watch the South Park episode where Cartman said he was transgender? And then he gets a, okay, it's amazing. Then he gets his own bathroom, and then he's like so excited because he gets to have his own bathroom. And he's like, oh gosh, yeah. He's like whipping the toilet with a whip. He's like, I'm gonna show you what's up. But it's funny. But I mean, it does kind of like it satirizes the debate that we're having in this country right now. Mm-hmm. Is like, what kind of personal private is? Do you have a right to privacy? I mean, do you have a right to privacy in a bathroom? I mean, if it's a public bathroom, is the answer no?
Well, students traditionally, by law, have not had a right to privacy in many aspects. Things like being forced to take a shower. I mean, in my middle school, we had to take a shower at least twice a semester. We had to actually check in with the coach to show that, yes, we had undressed and we had got naked and we had gone into the shower. Why is a sixth grader, seventh grader, was I forced to have to undress if I wasn't comfortable with it? They were open showers. It was just a big open stall. There were not individual curtained sections or things like that. So, you know, for decades, schools have been able to force students to do things that are against their principles or right to privacy.
Now listen to this. The debate in Gloucester underscores how deeply polarizing this issue has become. Parents who support the bathroom ban and those who back Grimm believe the health and safety of students are at stake, and they've had difficulty finding middle ground. The school board offered what they thought was reasonable compromise, designating one bathroom at the high school as gender neutral. But the teenager said it humiliated him further, making an already anguished transition worse. But to some here, Grimm's being transgender violates their basic sensibilities, some of which they say draw from the Bible. They believe changing one's gender is an affront to nature and God. In my opinion, as a pastor looking at this situation, I do not believe that God makes mistakes, said Ralph N. Ness, a security guard at the high school, who is also the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. God put us on this earth is who we are. Well, the only problem with that argument is that if that's true, God also makes sick, twisted, deformed, you know,
Serial killers,
right?
Yeah.
In that
line of thinking, if God makes no mistakes, then God is purposeful in creating rapists and murderers and terrorists.
He's also purposeful in creating abortions, because most of the abortions that occur over the years are terminated as a result of, you know, health imbalances, or what's the word for it? It's a miscarriage, mm-hmm. right? Like that's another thing, because if he's responsible for the normal human beings, as he describes it, then he's also responsible for the broken human beings as well, wouldn't he? So that argument falls flat on its face from a moral perspective.
Absolutely.
So Grimm's transition has been long and painful. As a young child, he was obsessed with OCD. He was diagnosed with OCD and conditions that he now connects to his gender identity struggles. He yearned to follow his twin brother onto the football field, and he felt deeply uncomfortable wearing dresses, opting for mostly boys' clothes and short hair as he entered middle school. Once he was forced to wear a dress to his sister's wedding, and he was so upset and traumatized that he spent the day catatonic, he said. It's like myself wasn't really living, Grimm said. When he recalls his life before the transition, he said, it's as if he is recalling someone else. It feels like a different human being altogether. Living that sort of limbo, I couldn't really enjoy anything. Now, here's the thing. I think you ought to be able to live your life however you want. Like, you can be whatever you want. Caitlyn Jenner, if you want to get a sex change, like, I'm not a bigot. I don't despise people for whatever their lifestyle choices are, as long as it doesn't spook the cows. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to get all judgy. But if he's got OCD and he's struggling with this, he says that the OCD is a result of considering himself another gender. But I mean, isn't that more like a PTSD kind of a thing rather than OCD? Because it seems like everybody's self-diagnosing.
Well, if they've got, this is true. Right. There is a lot of self-diagnosis out there. My degree, as you recall, is actually in psychology.
Right.
I think that the advent of things like WebMD and the internet, you know, being awash with all sorts of sites that you can Google. Yeah, everyone
self-diagnosis.
Tends to do that. Self-diagnosis.
Yeah, it's like I got a cough. Yeah. Oh, it's cancer.
But that's not to say that, you know, he did not go to a doctor and was diagnosed. I mean, obsessive compulsive disorder often develops when people feel a lack of control. And so they're trying to find something that they can place control upon. And their obsessions are, you know, play out in a multitude of ways, whether it's hand washing or cleaning or counting, things like that. But they do often stem from someone feeling like they have no control over other aspects. It's the same reason kids cut or things like that.
Right. So, but I mean, I want to play devil's advocate here. Like, I'm not necessarily advocating for this, but I mean, doesn't it imply that perhaps there may be some mental imbalances with people like this? And if so, is it not closely related to like a mental disorder, perhaps?
I mean, think in today's society, all of us have a little bit of something.
We're a little bit crazy, right?
Yeah, we all have something, I think, that we can diagnose, whether it's seasonal affect disorder creating depression, or it is something severe like debilitating OCD. I don't think there's a real normal out there anymore.
All right, good point. All right, so I want to get back to this discussion, but we've got to take a little bit of a break real quick because I don't have commercial sponsors just yet, but this is a chance for me to advertise for commercial sponsors. See this book right here? This book could be yours if you have a product or an item that you'd like to sell on our podcast. We get around 500,000 viewers a month now on these live streams, and that is just going to continue to grow. It's a great audience. If you've got a libertarian item or a conservative book or something that you would like to hawk on this show, it's a great way to get it in front of your audience. You can contact me at austin@stonegatellc.com. And of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not viewing us live on Facebook, if you're listening to us later, the audio of this does get uploaded, and we get even more downloads on the podcast. We're actually number one on podbean.com, which is like, what's podbean.com? There's like 300,000 other people who are podcasting, and we are number one. This is going on our second year that we are the number one podcast. We've got 27 million downloads of this show total. 27 million people are getting the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. Also, if you guys are really interested in hearing me speak personally, today is the 31st of August, no matter when you're listening to this, of 2016. And we're actually, Kristen and I are going to be going together. We're going to New York. Cool kitty. Tales about the boy from New York City. So we're going to be going and giving a speech at Liberty Fest in New York City. That will be on September the 10th. That's a Saturday. You can get your tickets. The tickets are actually selling out. They said they only had like 30 tickets left a couple of days ago.
You did get me on the VIP list, right?
Yeah, okay. Your entourage status. So you get to get in with the former POTUS candidate, the second place finisher, the runner-up, the losertarian.
The best loser.
Oh, actually, that's funny that you say that because somebody was dogging me today about my magical powers. How come I can't get Gary Johnson in the debate? Somebody said, listen to this. This is funny. This is just gossip stuff. Lance Brown wrote this morning. So Austin Wade talked a lot about his razzle dazzle and his ability to spin gold from straw and other metaphors and cliches that implied he had ways to exponentially grow his campaign and exposure for the party. For some reason, he never bothered to unleash those superpowers before the convention when they might have impressed people enough to swing more delegates his way. Well, yeah, because the libertarian delegates didn't care that the National Review and Red State and all these mainstream publications were endorsing me, because normal people like me, it's the libertarians that don't care. But assuming he's has mad political publicity powers, wouldn't it be a good idea to use him right now to ensure Gary gets into debates? Good for Austin in the future. What do you say, Austin? Time to empty out those sleeves. No. Anyway, assuming there's anything up them. So I like snapped back and was like, as a loser, I know losers. And you, sir, are a loser. I'm the best loser, however. When I lose huge. But when you lose, it's like a senior citizen losing a quarter on a slot machine. A non-event. Okay? We're going to build a wall between me and Lance Brown today. All right. Enough smack talking. So we've made our plugs there. If you guys want to advertise at the Libertarian Republic, this is a great opportunity for you to get in front of your audiences. Also, don't forget, if you love the LibertarianRepublic.com but you don't like our ads, if you go to the LibertarianRepublic.com, there will be a pop-up, and it will be the last time you see it if you subscribe as a member. $5 a month will help spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty and get rid of all the ads. And you know how you have to click through those listicles? I know that annoys you guys, but that's how we're able to continue to afford to do these kinds of things for you guys, so I don't have to go out and get a real job. But no, I'm kidding. This is a real job, spreading these ideas. I'm one of the best libertarian activists there are out there, so support the best of the best and purchase a subscription. You get all your listicles on one page, and we continue to add value to that membership as time goes on. All right, so back to the discussion. We're talking about transgenders in bathrooms. Now, listen to this. He says he didn't even know what being a transgender was, David Grimm. He went back to school. He changed his name. The school records reflect that he's a boy. And with the principal's blessing, he began to use the stalls in the boys' bathroom. He used it for 7 weeks before people caught wind. Parents were angry. The concerns quickly gained steam publicly. They raised the spectrum of bathroom sex and rape and expressed fears that their sons would be uncomfortable in the bathrooms. All right, guys.
Well, let's talk about that rape point.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Give me what you got.
In that scenario, who's more likely to get raped? The transgender student or the other students? Because my bet would be on the transgender student.
Who's going to rape him? Woman? Boys. Like a boy? A boy is going to rape a transgender?
Transgender men and women are often some of the highest victims of rape and assault.
What? You better have some facts to back that up.
I don't have my phone in front of me.
Okay, well, we're going to have to... We'll check those facts because the live streamers, I guarantee, are going to check it. Go ahead and Google it up, guys, and drop it.
Oh,
and
if you have... Transgender women
are actually... Right, and if you have questions... Sorry, real quick. If you have questions that you want me to ask Kristen, drop them in the live stream chat right now and we'll pop them over to you. Okay, sure. Go ahead.
No, from what I have read and researched, transgender women especially are some of the highest victims of assault and rape. And it is partly because of their status as a transgender. Whether they're assaulted on the street or things like that, they are victims. So I don't know. I guess when I think about safety, I'm not thinking about the other boys, the straight boys that are in that bathroom. I'm thinking about this young woman who's transitioned to male and her his safety.
Well, but I mean, here's the thing. Like women will often complain about things like, you know, harassment on the street, for example, mm-hmm. like catcalling and stuff. And they'll say, I have a right not to be made feeling uncomfortable. Well, do I have a right to use a bathroom without being made to feel uncomfortable with someone coming in who's of the opposite biological sex of me?
But when you were to look at that young man, did you really look at that as that's a boy or a girl pretending to be a boy? Or did you look at him and go, that's a boy? We tend to make those snap judgments fairly quickly. We might have the moment where we go, is that a boy or girl? I'm not sure. But, you know, part of me says, well, in today's society, it obviously takes a lot to live who you really are, whether that's to have pink hair, if that's to change your gender identity, if it's to wear crazy outfits, piercings all over, whatever. It takes courage to be who you are. And, you know, thinking about those people, that's what I turned to. I had a man when I was growing up. I grew up in a very small town in mid-Missouri, and I was having this conversation with my mom over the weekend because we were talking about the transgender bathroom issue. And I remember this man as a child. I was like 4 or 5 years old. I remember seeing him in the grocery store multiple times and even asking my mom, like, is that a boy or a girl? And she's like, that's a man. He was obviously identifying as a woman. Think about in a town of 10,000 people, how difficult that was in the 80s to be yourself.
Right.
It's definitely a lot easier these days.
Well, yeah.
But that's not to say that they don't still face a lot of social issues.
True.
Catcalling with, again, being degraded, being told to your face by people that they don't agree with you because their Bible tells them that you're wrong.
Right. I don't know. I don't think the Bible says anything about transgender.
It does not.
I don't think it addresses that. Read it quite a few times. So, but by the way, our conservative Christian people who are watching the show are mad, boy. They are mad, mad bros. Y'all gotta chill out, okay? Because this is what we call diabolus. What's the word? It's the devil's advocate, you know? So just because you don't agree with something, you gotta listen to somebody's point of view. That's why I have Kristen here. She's a liberal environmentalist feminist nutso. So,
who has been transitioned quite a lot towards the libertarian side, my friendship with this guy.
Yeah, we're getting them more libertarian. That's the thing is, you know, don't call them nutsos because then they won't listen to you.
Look, if you want to grow the party, you got to pull people in from the left and the right.
I agree. I completely agree. Which is kind of what Gary Johnson and Bill Weld are doing. All right. So, well, here's my thing. All right. So, down where the rubber hits the road. I mean, do you think that it is the job of the federal government to come in and enforce these kinds of one-size-fits-all rules on these communities? Like, if a community says that you must use a bathroom according to your biological sex, is it the role of the federal government to step in and to enforce desegregation?
I think that there are a lot of things that have happened in this country that were forced upon the population, mm-hmm. things like desegregation, mm-hmm. That people didn't agree with. But now we've come so far and gone, you know what, outlawing interracial marriage, that was wrong. Jim Crow laws, those were wrong. So I also try to think from the perspective of how are we really going to view what's going on today in 40, 50 years? Are we going to look at it and say, yes, we were steadfast and we did this and we were right, we were righteous? Or are we going to look back at it and go, we kind of made the wrong choice there?
We might have gotten called out by Rebecca Fiedler, who says, hey, Rebecca, who says that pretty sure the Bible addresses women wearing men's clothes. Well, I have never read that part of the Bible. So if you want to drop that verse in there, Rebecca, I'll be more than happy to read it in the live stream. So let's see. People are saying Austin is being too nice. What do you mean too nice? I'm a nice guy. I'm always nice, unless you mess with me. Christian's not messing with me right now. But all right, so let's see. Any other good questions here on our live stream before we shut her down? Let's see. Do you observe the NAP? So all right, so let's finish off this conversation, and I just want to say that I honestly don't know what the answer is to this.
I don't really either. Your question being about the one size fits all, so the federal government's job. Yes and no.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it their job to ensure that students are getting an education,
right,
that students can show up to school without fear of being beaten, of, you know, can't do much about ostracization, but
right.
It's their job to make sure that kids can come to school.
Yeah.
And a lot of those students have fear of coming to school because something as simple as going to a bathroom is complicated for them.
I mean,
and like the student said, being ostracized.
But I want to empathize with both sides.
I do too.
I want to empathize with both sides because, honestly, I don't know how I would feel. I mean, the thing is, I've been to gay bars in my life, you know, and like, it gets a little weird in there sometimes. You know, you're trying to go to the bathroom and it's like, you better watch out if you're a straight boy because you're going to, you know, you might get, hit on. But because I've grown up and lived a more socially liberal lifestyle, perhaps thanks to my background in musical theater, then it doesn't quite bother me. Like, I don't freak out. If a person walked in and I was like, oh, that's a woman, like, I don't think guys are going to be as worried about it as much as girls might be, because maybe girls, their sensibility is a little bit more...
I don't know.
Every time I run into
a transgender in a bathroom,
yeah,
I get hair or makeup tips or get told my outfit's cute. Like, I don't know. I've never had a problem with one feeling like they were either hitting on me, wanted to do anything negatively towards me.
I've always had
positive experiences with transgender people.
Well, so then here's what we're going to have from the people who are trying to force segregation, from the people who are trying to pass the bathroom bills according to their biological sex. You're going to need some case studies. You're going to need some statistics or data that's showing that people who are trans are going in and assaulting or raping.
They'd
be raping everybody up in here. Yeah. You're going to have some data for that kind of stuff. So until that happens, I mean,
I think it's all based in fear.
Yeah.
It's more based in the fear.
But it's kids, too.
This could happen.
Like,
what if this happened?
Like,
what if that happened?
But we always place roles. Again, now I'm going to go the other side. We always place rules and restrictions on kids, right? We say that kids can't smoke tobacco, right? Kids can't do this or something like that. I mean, is there a danger in sort of, segregating kids according to this? Like, kind of indoctrinating kids according to this kind of what I would call a very rapidly progressive sort of a lifestyle? I mean, don't Christians and Muslims and Jews who are more conservative, like, you know, I'm not one, but don't they have the sort of the right to have their sensibilities, their religious sensibilities respected if they don't want to associate? Isn't this a small minority forcing their will on the majority?
We all have to find our own space where we're not bothering each other.
Well, that's what
that's the challenge of it.
The safe space?
Safe space, screw all that stuff. Like, ooh, boohoo, I need to be in a room where I... Whatever. Okay, I growing up in the 90s and going to college in the 2000s, I thought it was lame to have those stickers on your door saying, this is a safe space for all people of all genders and all sexual orientations. I don't need a sticker on my door for gay people to know that they can be okay coming to my room.
Okay, we got called out, and I got to acknowledge it. Rebecca found it. Deuteronomy 22:5 says that a man must not wear a women's garment. Well...
Okay.
That's why I don't follow the Bible,
bacon?
Because if I want to dress as a woman, that's my damn right as an American.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys and gals on Halloween that have had a very hard time. They're all going to hell.
Rudy Giuliani, like, made out with Donald Trump, dressed as a woman, actually. If you haven't seen that video, we'll get the computer for
Rudy's going to hell. We kind of already knew that.
Well, they already knew that. They don't want...
We knew that.
The conservatives and libertarians who watch this show are probably not big Rudy Giuliani fans.
There's plenty of things in the Bible. I grew up Baptist. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a deacon in our Baptist church. I dated the preacher's son in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I didn't remember that Bible verse, but hey, there's a lot of verses to remember. But in the end, there's plenty of things in the Bible that you can call yourself a Christian all day, but you have to admit there are things that you don't follow. Mm-hmm. So, my dear friend Rebecca, let me ask you, do you ask your husband's permission to speak in church?
Ooh, see, that's the thing, is they like to cherry pick sometimes.
Yeah. And
say, oh, we follow this, but we don't follow that. That's outdated. But that's the Old Testament there, Deuteronomy.
Yes. 1 Corinthians is what talks about not asking for, not speaking in church without your husband's permission.
Damn, Bible, you scary.
So.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know, I call myself basically a pagan these days because agnostic has got that stigma. Like, you know, I believe in a higher power, but beyond that, I don't know what's right or wrong. And so I do my best to not live my life based in judgment upon any specific book. Or in judgment at all, just simply of, let's live our lives and be good people.
The newly minted editor of the Libertarian Republic, I don't know if you guys heard, but I stepped aside so I could focus more on the Stonegate Institute, which you guys should definitely check out, because the Stonegate Institute, this is the last day, today's the last day, the 31st, for you guys to get a chance to win this garbage gun, this pistol, which is a replica of George Washington's flintlock pistol. If you donate at least $25 to the Stonegate Institute, you will be entered to win. If you donate over $200, you get two entries to get a copy of my garbage gun. I know you guys want to get your hands on it, so do me a favor and go to stonegateinstitute.org. That's STONEGAIT, Stonegate Institute. .org. Help us to take over the government so we can leave everyone alone. Now, Kristen, you had something you needed to plug real quick. You've got a talk that you're going to give.
Oh,
she's an environmental policy expert. So give us a little bit of details on what's going on with you.
Absolutely. If you want to catch me in November in Chicago, the 1st or the 3rd, I will be with the U.S. Commercial Service talking about smart cities. I'll be on a panel talking about the smart grid and distributed generation and kind of the future of our grid.
Interesting. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for watching the show today and tuning in. If you guys don't want to become subscribers to the Libertarian Republic because you're a poor college student or whatever, or you can't donate to the Stonegate Institute for whatever reason, then, of course, we would be very grateful if you guys would share this live stream with your friends and get a debate going. Get people talking about this. We're probably not going to reach a perfect conclusion to a problem that's as complicated as this, but it's good that we have these kinds of open debates and discussions that are not necessarily heated, but good intellectual topics, and people can get their ideas out there, because we're going to deal with this issue, I think, a lot in the coming years. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for watching the show. Don't forget, come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty.
And hopefully this showed that not every liberal is a bleeding heart, and you can actually have an intelligent conversation with them.
Kristen Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming on the show. Kristen, you were lovely.
Thank you.
Have a great day.